And this morning we're starting a very short series, a mini series. That means there's three sermons in it. It's half a BBC series, where there's normally six episodes. So we've got three, and it's based around Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. So I'm going to read the whole of that passage before we focus on what we're going to read on, think about this morning. So Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will power you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow deep down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's a great passage of scripture, isn't it? A really, really great passage of scripture. Thank you. And for this series, we're going to be looking at three themes. More power, more love, and continuously more. You see, the whole of this passage from Ephesians chapter 3 is about praying for spiritual growth. And so this series is about how we as followers of Jesus grow spiritually. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians and us, that we would grow in our relationship with Jesus. For you see, God's heart is that our relationship with his son Jesus doesn't become stagnant. It doesn't become stale. There's an implied idea, just like in our human relationships, our spiritual relationship with Jesus is something that is hallmarked by growth. Why? Well, it's not more power, more love, and continuously more for the sake of it, but so that we grow as followers of Jesus and we experience the more of God. And in this passage, when Paul talks about our roots growing down into God's love, he doesn't say that they grew, but that they grow. It's not a past growth. It's a present and a future growth. There's an implied present reality to this in all seasons of life, so that we keep on growing. You know, my son Reuben, who's 13, is growing at the speed of a bullet train. He really is. He's taller than me, which doesn't take a lot, but he's only 13. And he is still growing. We got his clothes, his summer stuff out, his shorts and his t-shirts, just to see if that would fit him again this year. And it looked like he was dressed as a six-year-old in school again, because it was so small and so tight on him. And for all of us, there comes a point where our feet stop growing. Where we reach the height that we're going to be. I always wanted to be 6 foot. Oh, I'm not, I know that. Because my father was 6 foot with size 10 feet. I hit the feet, I got my shoes are size 10, but I didn't get to the 6 foot. In my head, I'm about 6'3". But I know I'm not 6 foot. I went to the when I was in hospital and the consultant said, how tall are you? And Jen was with me. I said, I'm 5'8" and a half. And he looked at me and he went, no, you're not. He said, I'll give you 5'7" and a half for the push, but there's no way you're 5'8", let alone 5'8" and a half. I was crushed. But we stop growing, don't we? Physically. Reuben hasn't reached that yet, and it's costing us a fortune, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon either. But we know there will come a time where he will stop growing, And the clothes that he's got at that point will always fit him for the time being. Praise God, may that come quickly. And when it comes to our faith, we are to keep growing. We're not to stop growing. There's no height limit. There's no shoe size limit that we reach, and then that is it. And this passage from Ephesians chapter 3 is about how we're to be transformed. And this means for those of us who know Jesus, we allow our lives and situations to be continuously transformed. So every shattered heart, every selfish part of our character, every open wound, every struggle in relationships, warped attitudes, etc., are constantly being healed and transformed by God always as we spiritually grow. You know, if we get to a point in our relationships and we say, well, that's it, I've cut them off. They're dead to me. Because of something that might have happened. We're not growing as followers of Jesus. Has God ever said that to you? No. So we've got to allow these things, allow God to continually heal us, to show us new things, to transform our hearts and our minds so that we continually always grow spiritually. So this prayer of Paul's is a prayer for our spiritual growth and empowerment. That's a brief framing of this passage and this series. So we're going to spend the rest of our time thinking about that. More power. And as we think about more power, we'll be looking at verses 14. Ooh, what's going on? No? How'd I go back? That's what I'm doing. I'm pressing back. I think the heat has got to the clicker. Right. There. Is it going to stay or is it going to move on? The tension builds in the room, or it stays. And we're going to think about these verses. I'll read them again. When I think of all this, that is, when I think of God's mysterious plan revealed, when Paul thinks about Jesus, when Paul thinks about all that God has done for us, he falls to his knees and prays to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. It's a great passage. And we're going to lean into these verses as we think around this theme of more power. Last weekend I was at the Christian Vision for Men gathering festival called The Gathering. It's a Christian men's conference. It's a great conference with lots of varying things. They wheel out Graham Kendrick for the worship every year. So, and he gets older and older and older. His voice is going. Yeah. He's a young guy. He really is. He's a young guy. And he was great. And there's lots of different things that go on, and there's an aspect of men's physical power. They had a tug of war competition live between the UK nations, and it was Wales versus England, and Wales won! Only because the rope snapped, actually. It did, the rope snapped. So, but Wales won. They had a display of muscle cars where a 12-year-old Zafira would not have fitted very well, I have to tell you that. Lots of revving of engines. They had the Tough Talk men's ministry. that were there, they're ex-gangsters and ex-doormen, and they have this huge physical strength, and so they held competitions such as arms wrestling and weightlifting and so on. I needed to be somewhere else at that point, but it was wonderful. And when we think of the word power, they're the images that come to mind, aren't they? A display of physical strength, a bit like the world's strongest man. Do you ever watch that? And they pick up these massive things, and their veins are about to burst out of their body. That's what we think about often when we think about power. But the good news is that that is not what Paul is talking about at all. Think about it. When you think of power in the form of electricity, you can't see electricity, but you know it's there. When I was 11, I, for some reason, stuck my long metal locker key in a plug socket that the switch was missing. Let me tell you, even if I didn't see electricity, I certainly knew it was there once I did that. All the school lights went off. I had a pair of Dr. Martin shoes on, and there was a rubber matting on the floor, and that is the only thing that saved my life. From that day on, I was known as Sparky in school. True story. A geography teacher came, for some reason they took me to the nurse's office, which is what they do, and give you a wet paper towel because you've electrocuted yourself. I don't know what that is, and just sit there. And a geography teacher came in and said, "You stupid, stupid boy. What would have happened if somebody was in the sports hall and was on a trampoline and they were bouncing up and down and they were in the air when the lights went off? What do you think would have happened then, boy?" I said, "Well, sir, gravity would have taken a hold and he would have come straight back down again. The lights going off made no difference to gravity." There was a time when I flicked a switch on a machine that I was operating when I worked in a factory. Couldn't see the electricity, but as I flicked the switch, the electricity threw me back 10, 15 foot, and my skin was welded to the plug. Enjoy your roast beef later, won't you? But I couldn't see it, but I certainly knew it was there. And you see, while we cannot see the power of electricity, we see the results of the power of electricity. When we think about God's power, we can't physically see it, but we can experience the results of God's power. We can see the results of God's power. Paul is talking about the power of God and how through His Holy Spirit we can experience that power and more of that power in our lives, in our walk as followers of Jesus, and the results of this power are to be seen in our lives. And we're going to think about three aspects to this power as seen in the passage to us this morning. But before we do that, I want to highlight the scale, the vastness of God's power. For we read in verse 15 that the one who Paul falls to his knees in prayer to is the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. You know, in our world, there are seriously rich and powerful people. Here we are. We have that man. Who is it? Elon Musk. I think he's the world's richest man. He's worth $412 billion. Then you have Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook. He's worth, not a lot actually, only $244 billion. Then you have Jeff Bezos. Anybody have an Amazon delivery this weekend? I did. He's worth $226 billion. There are presidents and kings and queens from around the world who have immense wealth, immense power in their nations and across the world. They have huge influence. But all of that pales into nothing compared to God. So the Bible tells us God is the creator of everything. There's no open brackets where some things are said that he's not the creator of. The creator of everything in heaven and earth. Another translation says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. That means everything that everybody has comes from the power that God has. We can have all these powerful people in our world. Yet the Bible tells us that every name on earth comes from the power of God. The power that these people have come from the source. It comes from the power that God has. So if we're to add up all of the power that every human being, every nation has on earth, it wouldn't come anywhere near all the power that God has for us. For he is the creator of everything in heaven and earth. Friends, are you with me? Are you with me? That's not a rhetorical question. I'm getting all Pentecostal on you this morning. It's important to grasp before we move on. Because in church we talk about the power of God. We sing about the power of God. But I'm not sure in our hearts we fully understand the vastness of that power of God. We need to understand that when we talk about living and operating in the power of God, we need to try and get our heads around how much power we're talking about. Because the power is beyond anything that we can measure. Anything that we can measure. If you can think of how much a number that God's power would represent, double it, treble it, quadruple it, keep going, you'll never get to the end of it. All of these powerful people that have this sense of power in the world, that's nothing. They're like ants compared to the power that God has. And once we grasp that, though then we're talking about having more power, we realize who gives us that power. We can move on to think about three things that Paul tells us about God's power that is shown in his resources. And firstly, the resources of God's power are glorious. They're glorious. What does it say in the Bible? That I pray that from his glorious resources. We read in Philippians 4:19, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. All of your needs. From his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So God has these glorious riches which is from those he supplies all of our needs, and they have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? The phrase in this verse from Paul to the church in Corinth, glorious riches, suggests abundance and splendor, reflecting on the majesty and generosity of God. To say that something is glorious is to suggest it's amazing, it's brilliant, it is all and more you'd hoped it to be. I've been to theater shows and come out of them and I've said that show was glorious. It's kind of got me right here. You know, it's made me feel joyous. It was, wow, I didn't want it to end. And I just think, wow, that was wonderful. It had something extraordinary to it. And that word glorious from Paul to the Philippians and Paul to the Ephesians from our passage today, it aligns with that. Where Paul speaks about being strengthened with power through God's Spirit according to his glorious riches. So friends, the power we get from God comes from his glorious riches. It doesn't say from God's mediocre riches. From God's that'll do riches. From God's, it's alright, it's enough. From his glorious riches. They're no ordinary riches, they're no ordinary resources. They're not resources we understand in human terms. They're beyond that. You know, someone came up to me on Wednesday evening at our Dreaming Dreams evening and they just said to me, this was a very wise person, been a Christian for many, many years. And he said to me, I just sense God wants to say that we don't need to worry about where all the resources will come to do all that God wants to do in our church. Whatever God wants to do, he will provide. And I thought, that's so powerful. That's so true. This is God's glorious riches, his glorious power. This is his power being shown through that. And so we are empowered not from our own resources, but from the resources of Elon Musk. You know, Elon Musk has, what was it, $416 billion. I think he's doing all right, probably. What we might want to do is, God, far more than that. We're tapping into something. We're not tapping into the Elon Musk of the world. We're tapping into the creator of heaven and earth. That's who we're walking with. That's who we're living with. And when we think about God's glorious resources, that should say to us, that's the best. There is nothing higher. There is nothing better. We're not getting empowered from the dregs, but from the glorious riches of the living God. So we don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be timid. We don't need to wonder if God can do it. And we do that, don't we? We pray. Dear Lord, just give us all that we need if it's in your will. We add that little tagline because we're lacking in faith. We do want it to be in his will, but we add it because, well, if God doesn't do it, well, then it doesn't mean that he can't do it. I've given a caveat. You know, I've given a caveat that, oh, maybe it wasn't in his will. And we can come to God so timidly. God wants our big, audacious, outrageous prayers. I read a book that says he's insulted by anything less. How many times I remember speaking to a guy in a church. He was one of our deacons in a previous church. And he said, do you know what really annoys me? It's when we pray prayers that we can answer. That we can answer it. You know, so-and-so's not very well. Oh, dear God, please show us how we can provide meals for them. We don't need to pray about that. Just provide the meals. We all have resources that God has given us. And God says, no, come to me and pray for those things that are beyond you. That, you know, that you cannot answer. Because you haven't got that power. You haven't got that resource. But God says, I have. You know. In the book that says about God's big, audacious and outrageous prayers, it also says he doesn't know how or why God answers certain prayers and others he doesn't seem to answer in the way that we pray. He said, the author said, all I know is this. God 100% doesn't answer the prayers you don't pray. If we're not praying these big audacious prayers, if we're not saying, God, we understand you've got this power. You created everything in heaven and earth. That is who we're praying to. If we don't pray that prayer, it's not going to answer it because we haven't prayed it. We need to be fearless. For the power that we receive comes from the glorious riches of the living God who created heaven and earth and who under all things hold together and have their place. I want to highlight this isn't only God's powerful provision in terms of what we know as material provision. It's God's glorious resources in terms of emotional strength, empowerment, insight, health, wisdom and so on. We see that God's glorious resources mean that God resources us in every single way. All because of his power. How good is that? Does that excite you? Does that energize you? But that's not all. For Paul tells us that not only does God's power come from his glorious resources, but that the resources of God's power are unlimited. I love this one. They're unlimited. The Bible says they're unlimited. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you. As a kid, did you ever have dreams of sweets and chocolate and ice cream flashing before your eyes, or was that just me? I don't think it's just me. Unlimited sweets, unlimited chocolate bars. Hands up, as a kid, longed to own a sweet shop. Thank you, yeah. Thank you. No, they're all going up now, aren't they? Yeah. Why did we want to own a sweet shop as kids? Because we liked the idea of unlimited sweets. But just being able to go and have a quarter of this and a quarter of that, and well, maybe I'll have half a pound of that. You know, just, you know, peanut brittle and all of those wonderful sweets you could get as a kid. None of the rubbish you get today. You know, the traditional sweets that really give you fillings and rot your teeth. They're the ones I'm talking about. Not these things that have no sugar in them and goodness knows what. What's the point of that? Many of us love the idea of unlimited resources, but it never happens. I love a full tank of fuel. Always have. Been driving for nearly 40 years, and I love it when I fill the tank up and it looks full. But there's a problem with that, isn't it? It doesn't last. And however many miles your car does to the gallon and to the tank, there will come a point where you just see that dial, the dial of doom, that just keeps going down and down and down. And then a little light comes on. Oh, I'm going to put some more petrol in there. As a family, we're going to Scotland in the summer, and we've estimated we'll do just over 1,500 miles. I'll fill up in Billericay before we go, but I'll have to fill up before I get to my first destination in Eddie's homeland as well. But here in this passage, from the Apostle Paul, he speaks to us of an amazing truth. The resources where God's power come to us from are unlimited. They're unlimited. You know, maybe you know the biblical story of the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17, where we see a miraculous provision where a jar of flour and a jug of oil was unlimited. It didn't run out. Unlimited resources mean that God's power never runs out. They're endless in a way we simply cannot fathom. I can give testimony to the times in my life when God somehow has made what I have in terms of a material resource seem to last far longer than it should have. The evangelist, J. John, when he preaches about tithing, he says, all I know is this. I don't know why it works, but I know this. God can do far more. If I give God 10%, he can do far more with the 90% that I've got left than I can do with 100% if I don't give him anything. So I don't know how it works. 100% can go so far in my human brain. If I give God 10% of that, the 90% that I have goes far further than the 100% that I had in the first place. See, I don't know how it works. But God has an unlimited resource. I know of someone who was brought up in a family where they tithed. It was as natural as breathing. And in her late 60s, she said to me, I remember not that long ago having a conversation with my sister. And she said, do you remember how our clothes has never seemed to run out as quick as our friends' clothes? They ran out because we grew, but they didn't run out because they got holes in them, or they went threadbare, or this or that. Because God's power is unlimited. But I can also give testimony to the times when God has given me the power to continue in life and ministry when I've come to the end of myself. I don't feel I can go on anymore, any further. And yet God has somehow given me something more from his power. Look through the Gospels and you will see the resources of God's power never running out. Look at the feeding miracle. Not only were people fed, but there were so many leftovers, they had stuff for their following meal. Healing miracles never seemed to end, and people were healed, and the miraculous was seen just when you thought you couldn't be amazed by anything more. Nature miracles. Jesus shows an unlimited resource in seeing him have power over winds and waves and so on. But in this passage, it's far more than the power of God's resources of material significance. It's the power of God in all aspects of life. that is completely unlimited. We read in that wonderful Psalm 121 these words. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and when? Forevermore. Evermore doesn't have an end date. There's no best before or use by. Evermore means continually, unlimited. This psalm underscores the idea that God's resources are limitless, unavailable to his children. Our help does not come from human resources, for that has a limitation. God says he will neither slumber nor sleep. And they come running into our bedroom at 3 a.m. Trust me, we're in a slumber and asleep. Our resources have run dry. We've got nothing else in us. And yet the psalm tells us that God never gets to that. We never get to the end of God because he's unlimited. Our help does not come from human resources. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. God, who is a loving father and someone who is always with us, always protecting us, always giving us what we need in life. God's power in our lives is unlimited, for God's powerful provision is not limited by human standards, but is according to his infinite resources. That's why God's power can heal the pain and struggles we have in life. It's why he brings us through difficult seasons and situations. Do you believe that, friends? Do you live by it? Always. I don't. I know I need to. Let me read you again something someone sent me that they read recently, and I read it out at our Dreaming Dreams evening. Is my vision too limited? My outlook too small? Am I restricting my expectation of what God might do through a lack of faith-filled imagination? I love that. I think I'm going to print that out and put that in my office. Because very often our vision is too limited. Our outlook is too small. We're restricted because of our expectations of what God might do. And we have a lack of faith-filled imagination. God can do anything, you know. You know, when the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. But he can't do that. And he can't do that. And I'm not sure about that. Did the angel say that? No. Imagine if the angel had said to Mary, nothing's impossible with God, but I don't think he can do that for you. You're going to struggle with that. Can you lower your expectations a little bit, Mary? You're asking quite a lot of God here. No. He said nothing is impossible with God, because God's resources, God's power is what? It's unlimited. It never gets to an end. My kids look at me and trust me, they know my power is limited. As Reuben gives me another punch as he's getting stronger day by day. They know that the bank balance is unlimited. They know that my personal capacity to always smile and be nice is unlimited, because it's been worn out on people in church. By the time I get home, they see grumpy daddy. They know it's all unlimited. How many times do I have to go to my kids and say, sorry, I know I said I'd do that. I'm really sorry. I just run out of time. I run out of energy. I run out of resource. I'm really sorry, kids. God never says that. God never says, Wayne, I'm really sorry. I know you asked me for that. I just ran out. I used up everything I had for somebody else. And sorry, I'll try and prioritize you next time. God doesn't do that. Because his resources are unlimited. I just want, allow that to sink into your brain and your heart. It's unlimited. What does unlimited mean? It's unlimited. So may we stop putting limits on what God can do. May we stop putting limits on what God can do. And finally, I've realised, just looked at the clock, I've got a bit excited this morning, the time's gone. God's powerful resources give us inner strength through the Holy Spirit. You know, perseverance is something that Paul mentions a lot in his letters. He talks about perseverance in prayer, perseverance in difficulties, perseverance in disappointments and so on. He gives us the analogy of the Christian life being a race, and we're encouraged to stay the course by keeping our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus and trusting in the strength of God to guide us through to the end. And all of this teaching, and indeed his teaching here in Ephesians chapter 3, the strength he's talking about is not how big our muscles are. He's not talking about what human power we have over others. He's not talking about, is our bank balance bigger than Elon Musk's? If it is, I'll have a chat with you later. Don't I, you know, just, I'll preach on tithing next week, you know. He's not talking about that. He's talking about, do we have the power that God gives us for inner strength? You see, Paul knew life wasn't easy. Paul knew that the Christian life wasn't easy. Though he knew that what we needed was not brute strength and power, but we needed something far deeper, far stronger, far more important than that. We needed inner strength. He also knew that on our own we would never have enough inner strength to last the course. But Paul had found that the power of God was what gave him the inner strength he needed to walk through the Christian life. I mean, let's back up a minute. Paul, when he was Saul, was a brute. He was aggressive. He, I'm man, I hit, bang. You know, he was horrible. He threw his power around, his human power, like it was going out of fashion. Suddenly got in his way, bang, gone out. That was what Paul was. That's when he was Saul. And since he was, his Damascus Road experience, and he did a complete 180 and starts following Jesus, he realizes that all of that power, that human power, actually that's quite weak. That's weakness. What he needs is the power of God to give him that inner strength. And that inner strength, it comes from God's glorious and unlimited resources. And so it saw him never give up. Even though, you know, read through the New Testament, you see Paul was, you know, he was accused, he was flogged, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, all of these different things and more. And yet he still never lost sight of this inner strength. He had a power, not like Samson who could break down things, he had a power that was an inner strength. So as I look to draw this sermon to a close, I want to say that the outworking of living with God's power, of knowing his glorious and unlimited resources, is that Christ will dwell in our hearts. The different words and meanings in the original Greek for the word dwell, but the one that's used in this passage means to be permanently housed. It's the putting down of roots. It's a, you dwell here. You reside here. You claim this place as yours. It has a long-term impact. And it influences all areas. You see, this passage is telling us that it's when we live with the glorious and unlimited power of God through his Spirit that gives us inner strength, that then Jesus sets up home in our hearts. He dwells within us and impacts every area of our life. And so as I close, here for me is the crux of this message. I need more of God's power in my life. I know I need it. I know I need it. I can stand here and I can preach it about God's glorious and unlimited resources, inner strength, but I know different to you. I need more. I need more power, more of God's power in my life. There are times when I feel like I'm running on empty. And the antidote to running on empty is to lean into God, to, trust Jesus more today than I did yesterday, and allow the Holy Spirit to give me more inner strength, to give me more power, because God has always got more to give. The theme of this message is more power. And it's this that Paul is praying for the Ephesians with a passion. And I believe the passionate prayer was not just for the Ephesians, it's for all of us here this morning. So for us, the prayer is the key to experiencing more power of God. You know, if you need more power of God and you haven't got it, just ask Him. Are you praying for it? Are you praying, God, I just need to know Your glorious and unlimited resources, that through Your Spirit give me this inner strength. No matter what's going on, I feel tossed by this and that, and this problem takes you down that road, and this disappointment takes you down that road. I just want the power of Your inner strength within me. Ask Him. Get on your knees and ask Him. You know, your problems, your situations, your struggles, they won't disappear in a puff of smoke. But you will have something within you that enables you to move forward with God. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You that You never leave us on our own. Thank You that You don't push us around. You don't force power on us like in a human term. The reason You want us to have more power is because You have so much more You want to give us. And then when we receive, when we seek that, when we receive it, you just know our lives will be the better for it. So Father, this week, show us truly what it means to walk, to live, to operate, to move around with the power of God, the power of Your Holy Spirit, resting and flowing and moving within us. And also, be a bit like electricity, when that's within us, not only will we see the results of that, but those around us will see the results of that, and they'll be drawn towards You. So lead us this week, we pray. Amen.